Hello, everybody. It is great to be here one more time today. And my name is Gary Fowler. I'm the CEO, president, and founder of GSD, Get You Done Venture Studios, a premier AI and quantum venture studio located in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'm a 17-time serial entrepreneur with several unicorns under the belt. I was on the original management team at Click Software, which was sold to Salesforce for $1.35 billion, also EBIT.ai. We believe that intellectual capacity is evenly spread around the world, but opportunities are not. So today we have an incredible guest. So Ghassan Mark Hammadi is a serial entrepreneur, leader. He's managed many companies. He calls himself a conscious capitalist, meaning that passionately respects people, the planet, and profitable enterprises, and believes that organizations have a responsibility to uphold all three P's equally. He's accomplished visionary senior executive with more than 20 years with experience in driving growth. He's got a wide background. His career spans multiple industries, renewable energy, enterprise software, industrial engineering, and IT services. He's been working worldwide with offices in Mexico, the Middle East, Europe, Asia, and the Far East. And he's got connections globally. So with that, I'd like to bring Mark on board. How are you doing today, Mark?
Good, good. Thank you, Gary, for having me. I'm doing good.
Yeah, so where's Washburn University?
It's in Kansas, Topeka, Kansas.
So, you know, how is it out there? You know, I lived in Kansas for a while in Wichita. So you were in Salinas, but you've got a wide background. I saw something. I thought I saw a radio station in there somewhere.
Yeah. I was turning around several companies in manufacturing. And I did a radio show to help the other businesses improve. So I figured, like, that way they can call in for advice and keep it confidential. Because, as you know, in small communities, in rural communities, they're very close-knit. And they sometimes are too scared to ask the right questions or ask for help or, you know, and so forth. But they're struggling. And so... That was fun.
So how do you go down through? You were born in Beirut and you came to the U.S. in 1985. How was it coming over?
Well, in what sense? I mean, Beirut, when I was there, it was like it's a war zone. So I had a visa, and then green card, and then I got my citizenship. But it was a terrible time when I came, because that was when the Marines barracks blew up and, you know, Arabs were not looked upon in a nice way.
No, I remember that. And, you know, you go down through and you look down through. It says that you lost 200 pounds, right? How did you do that, Mark?
So I've had a bunch of challenges. The weight I lost, and I tell this to people, you know, diets don't work. There's a reason why there's a million diets. The only way to make it work is to do a lifestyle change. And when you do a lifestyle change, you're able to lose weight. So when you're just doing nothing, your body burns maybe 600-700 calories. But if you optimize your body, it can burn over 2,000 to 3,000 calories doing nothing. And how you do that is by eating small portions. So people think, let me just eat one meal at night or one meal in the morning, and that'll keep me going for the whole day. Well, that doesn't work like that. Your body knows right now you only need a little bit. A little later, you need a little bit more. If you're going to run, you're going to need more. So you have to feed it every 2 to 3 hours, very, very small portions. Now, when you get very heavy, you actually eat huge portions, right? So what I tell people is, okay, you're used to eating huge portions. Now you can't eat a small portion. That's fine. I want you to eat a huge portion 6 times a day. Well, you won't be able to. Then that will make you eat smaller portions and smaller portions till you get to that. And then when you get to like 9% body fat, or 7%, and that under 13, that's when you need to use fasting. And if you fast, that'll help you.
And how does that work, Mark? What's the fasting like? Like, how do you do fasting now?
Yes. And so with fasting, I always say your body starts to burn calories after 18 hours. So try to do the fasting, including with sleep, so it's not as difficult. So, for example, if you sleep for 10 hours, then the 10 hours after that is fasting, or 15, to whatever that point that you feel uncomfortable. If you sleep only 1 hour, well, fasting is going to be very, very hard, right?
Yeah.
But once you get used to it, it's kind of like Adderall. Your mind will start working faster and faster, and you'll feel energized. Now, since I've been paralyzed, I gained weight, and now I'm trying to, now I'm losing weight while paralyzed, and then I'm going to write a program for that, which to me is hard. Before it was easy, really, right? If you can run, if you can work out, if you can, with that kind of stuff, you're able to lose, right, and optimize your body. But if you can't move, that becomes really difficult, and that's the hardest part to do that.
And it said, I read somewhere you were taking a shower. What happened, Mark?
So it was the COVID vaccine. So I took the first shot in July, and then the second shot I took in September 3rd with the flu vaccine, because I was planning on flying on a business trip to Toronto. Because if you remember, you couldn't fly in 2021 mm-hmm. to Canada or anywhere without being vaccinated. So I took the shot September 3rd. September 5th, while in the shower, I put my head down, washing my hair. I went paralysis from toe to neck. The vaccine, well, most people may not know this, but the way a vaccine works is it causes an inflammation. By causing an inflammation, it gets rid of the inflammation. Well, while it was doing that, it inflamed my C4 through C7 discs.
Wow.
And it ended up hitting my spinal cord. And so then I laid restless. I started out as a quadriplegic. So I was at the hotel. I called 911 because I had my phone in the shower listening to music, luckily. 911 came. I was in the shower for about 2 hours because they thought I was on fentanyl or cocaine. Here's a naked guy, pretty fit. How can you not move? What did you take, sir? Tell us. Nothing. No, it's okay. No, so they tested. Then they saw I took nothing. Took me to Cedar Sinai. 7-8 hour MRI, saw the inflammation, did a surgery, no improvement. 250 days later, I did another surgery from the back, which nobody wanted to do except Dr. Devin Coleslaw, and that improved me from a quad to a paraplegic. So now I have my arms, but I can't open my fingers, and legs and I don't feel my legs, bowel movements. So some things have improved. Okay, so now before I couldn't eat or hold anything, I can kind of type even with my fingers not opening. I can hold the cup. So now I can do almost everything on my own. Even open a pill box. I was wearing a catheter, but now I can. I pee normally, and I go to number two normally, but I don't feel that.
But that sounds like it's an improvement, Mark.
Yes, that's. And now I have pain in my back, and I have pain in my feet, so I feel that. And then I've gotten a stand-up wheelchair to try to stand up more, and that way I don't have all the pressure sores, which I had. And I've done a bunch of therapies, and I'm about to do another therapy. It's Neuro 20. It's like an outfit, kind of like a skins outfit, you know, where you go when you go scuba diving or so forth. It has 20 electromagnetic impulses in it, as it's FDA approved. You can only have 20 in your whole body. So they have those in the upper body, 20, and then they're going to do something for the lower body, 20. So I've seen somebody be able to stand in the wheelchair. So I've been trying, you know, whatever I can to improve. And in the meantime, you know, just try to adapt to the situation as best as possible to move forward.
No, it's amazing. I mean, you're amazing. You've gone through a lot, and you know, you keep going through it. That's in a good sense. You just plow through and get to the next level. So it sounds like you're making progress. It sounds like your head's in the right place. Where are you? Are you in LA today, or where are you?
Yes, I'm in LA. I'm in Panorama City.
Got it. So, you know, you've gone through a lot. You've gone down through, you've been, you know, if you look down through, you worked for the steel service company. So how was it, by the way, living in Kansas? How did you like it there?
You know, I love the beach. So, you know, that's what I love. I took that. I didn't have manufacturing experience. And you know what? Look, I always say you have to have something that challenges you, right?
Right.
So if you have good leadership skills, then maybe not knowing an industry can challenge you. So I didn't understand steel and manufacturing at the time, but I felt I had leadership skills, and I felt that I've never felt – you can never find the company, Gary, that has failed because of a great management team or great leadership, right? Even when you say when Apple wasn't doing that well, you could argue that Steve Jobs wasn't a great leader at that time, and then he improved. So find me a company that's went bankrupt due to good leadership. You'll never find one. So mm-hmm. to me, it's all about people. And without people problems, you don't have any problems. They solve the software. They solve the AI. They pivot, so forth, right? So I went down there, and I felt like, okay, you know what? The problems can be figured out. And in construction, and people don't realize this, people, when you get a project and you know it's like for 4 months, what the employees do is they work slower because they want to delay the job so they can not lose their job. Well, then when you get bonding wants you to finish the job quickly or else they won't insure you.
Right.
Right? And this is why you see cones all over highways and stuff. Things never ending because people want to stay there. So what I did was I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. When we take these jobs, we're going to have to finish them fast and efficiently. And if we finish them fast and efficiently, and there are no other jobs for you, I'm not going to lay you off. I'm going to keep you employed, even if you're doing absolutely nothing but smoking cigarettes. Because it's our job on the leadership side to build the pipeline. It's your job to execute. And so that worked, but you know, for the first 6-7 months, you're losing money because you have employees just sitting there. But it's the proper way because it builds the right habit. Then you build a pipeline of business, and then you're able to do the flow and have 2 shifts or 3 shifts instead of on and down and this. And you can be very, very profitable. But I will say this, manufacturing and steel industry, it's as difficult as tech. It is very, very sophisticated mm-hmm. because people think, oh, it's blue collar workers. I don't care if blue collar or white collar. You're talking about building bridges. You're talking about building hangars. You're talking about building things that are incredibly sophisticated. And the project might take 2 years to finish. And until it finishes, you don't know the exact profit you made. And the exact profit you made isn't, you can't calculate it on one project. You have to calculate it on your shop hours, right? And how many projects ran through. So if you had a project that made you $5 million, but then the other projects lost you money, well, you didn't make $5 million really, right? Because it's a loss. So it's the totality. And then you have a certain amount of equipment in your shop, right? It's different than selling software and saying goodbye to the person, right? It's, and you're done with them. You're never done with a project. It always lingers because you're using that machine in your shop. So if you take a project that's 2 years long and it takes over all your equipment in the shop, and the next project, if it's a $7 million profit, you might not be able to take it because you took that project that's going to, you know, all your employees are going to be working and working hard for 2 years and so forth, but you can't add another project. So you have to be smart in the projects you take and how you manage them. And then you have to clean your equipment. A lot don't clean their equipment, right? They want to run it. Productivity, you know? But when you don't clean your equipment, then they break down. So I have to see that, hoist, cranes, you know? And when you're doing sophisticated projects, it's when you're building 10 banks of America, it's easy. Once you figure out one, you can optimize it to others, right? But when you're building different things, it's different. Then it's complex, and it takes you a while to be efficient, and you won't be efficient. Like, you know, you build different companies in different industries. The ones that you built that are in the same industry, you're able to take something from something and move forward, right? But when it's a different industry, there's a learning curve. And you better get there very, very quickly to then get it optimized. And that's critical. So from that perspective, I love Kansas because that part is so exciting. It was like just an excitement. It was just so exciting to do that. And also blue collar workers, a lot of times people who are making, you know, $13, $14, $15, $20, people who are not millionaires and make it, you know, they love it. They're so passionate. And then when you're able to bonus them properly, it's like they appreciate it, right? Where sometimes if somebody's done so well, the next job you take them to might not be as interesting to them because they've already hit peak ceiling. You know, I did a tech startup in San Diego. We brought a guy who helped Oracle go from $50 million to $500 million. And he was bored, even though we grew like by 20 million. It was just like not for him. So I think it's very important to put people in the right places, and it's hard to motivate because people, you know, you have a certain amount of time to motivate somebody, and then another certain amount of time where the light bulb in their head is like, yes. So I can have the best plan in the world. But if you don't believe me, then you're not going to execute it. And then I'm dead. So you have to have the right plan as a leader to share with your team. And then they have to believe in you to execute it. And they have to come back to you and tell you the problems and all that. So I was always big about meeting with every single person, even if it's 1,000+ employees, and really get to know them because they know the problems. They know the problems. And if they let you know the problems right away, you won't sink. Otherwise, you will sink. The problems are always there. But it's hard for a leader to know what the problems are if you're running 400,000 employees or 200,000 if the people don't trust you. And that's why, like T-Mobile with John Legere and now with, you know, with Mike and so forth, they're charismatic, they're caring. They listen to everybody. So people come and tell them, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, maybe you're bothered a lot by silly things, but you could optimize it and split it up. Okay, no problem, no problem, no problem. So I always say, you want your employees to vomit information. They vomit the information, and you piece it together like a puzzle, and that will help you scale and grow and look at everything like as a whiteboard. I don't, you know, no matter what you tell me about somebody, I would listen to you, but then I would let that person, his actions is how I would also judge them too. Too many people go in with biased reasoning and do things. And that's hard. You have to try to see the picture the way it really is. So I always say, don't make a pig look like a unicorn, or a unicorn look like a pig.
You're right about that. You know, if you're going down through this journey, you've done so many wonderful things. You know, Mark, how do you go down through? What advice do you give to people out there that haven't gone down through and lost a couple hundred pounds, haven't gone down through and gone from a quadriplegic to a paraplegic, and then still going forward? What advice do you give them? Because you've seen it from the inside out. You know, you've done incredible things coming from Lebanon over to the States, and then, you know, and but what's that burning desire inside of you? What drives you?
Well, okay, I'll say that there's a lot of words that you can say and cliches and things, but the one thing I will always say, the most important one, is resilience. Resiliency. Resiliency will help you through anything and through everything. So you have to be resilient. And then the other thing I would say, when you're at the bottom and you feel there's no way out, you should be happy because you're at the bottom. And the only way going, it's going to be up. But when you're up, have gratitude and be careful, because you're not going to stay up. You're going to go down. So to me, life is like cryptocurrency or like the stock exchange, right? It's an ebb and flow. So when you're down, be thankful, because there's no more down. It's going to go up. And when you're up, brace yourself and have gratitude, because you may go down. And as you're going down, you want to brace yourself to not go down all the way to the bottom. And then really every day, write down what you want to do. So, for example, I'm going to schedule a time to email Gary. Okay, I put what I'm going to do for tomorrow. Tomorrow, if I don't do it, I don't erase it. And then I slowly don't add on to it. So you have to hold yourself accountable. So responsibility is very important. Accountability is important. Whenever I fire an employee, I always say, I'm firing you because it's not your fault. It's my fault. I failed as a leader. So every person, you have greatness in them. Every single one. It's different types of greatness. Can you get the greatness out of them? If you can't, maybe somebody else can. But too many times we blame others, and we blame everybody else, you know, for that. And at the end of the day, you have to take responsibility and accountability. And like, for example, for me with my paralysis, you know, because of my energy and my passion and so forth, I never had neck problems, never had any issues with that. But maybe because I don't, I handle pain, you know, pretty good. Maybe my discs were bad before. And then, you know, with the inflammation, it caused that. Who knows? I've never done an MRI on my neck, so I never had neck pain, never had any issues. But they definitely went quite a bit larger through that, but maybe they weren't small or perfect to begin with because of my lifting. And, you know, I never did it run through my mind, you know, be careful of your neck. You could get paralyzed. You know, we always play around this, that, but your neck is.
Yeah, I mean, you never, you know, Mark, people, you know, you know, you see people, you know, in situations where, you know, these I see these BMX bikers doing flips and things. You know, they don't understand. You know, it's like, it's unbelievable, right? It's
anything. You can crush your neck in a second.
In a second. And I've seen, and, you know, I've seen that stuff.
And the spinal cord is the only thing in the body that does not repair itself. You know, and that is, you know, and then with your nerves as a baby, and you, when you grow up, your nerves expand. But when the signal stops to grow your nerves, it's like so little over years. I mean, it's when it comes to that part of it, sometimes when you're talking to neurosurgeons, and this is no insult to used car salesmen, but it's as if you're talking to that, because sometimes they don't give you a definite answer. And when they give
They don't know the answer. That's the problem with, you know, once you start to get into the physician stuff, sometimes they don't know. But I mean, that's, you know, to go where you've gone and then come back and, you know, and going from losing weight to building companies to leaving Lebanon at, you know, in 85. I mean, that's incredible. And now to go through this journey, you know, it must have been quite a great feeling when you went from a quadriplegic to a paraplegic, to go from, you know, one thing to another and, you know, get it back. I mean, it's, I can't even imagine. It's got to be one of the best feelings you can possibly imagine.
You know, to me, I didn't think of it like that. I thought of it like, oh, this, in more like, okay, now if I have to go meet with Gary, I just need 2 hours to get ready instead of 5 hours to come see you. So, you know, with being paralyzed, your whole life changes. You can't just put a t-shirt, put some shoes, and go. You need people to help you change, get dressed. You need to get into your wheelchair. You need to go order an Uber that's a wheelchair accessible van.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 40 minutes. So, and I'm a planner. So you want to plan to be respectful to who. So it helped me with that. As far as the improvement, you know, because I used to be so athletic and run and that, it's hard for me. I'm thankful and grateful, but I'm always like thinking, I think others have seen the improvement more than I have, because to me, it's still like, okay, I feel like I've adapted more than improved. I've improved a little, but I've truly adapted. And so even though I can't move my fingers, I can still do so much with my fingers that I couldn't do before. And then the other thing I've said to myself, you know, there are children and there are women and there are kids that are paralyzed, they're born burned, they're hurt. Why do I deserve anything more than them? And that's why I haven't taken any like mental drugs or anything like that, because I've like, I'm not, no reason to be sad, no reason. I'm appreciative of my life. Yeah, I've had a lot of setbacks, but you know what? To me, everybody's had setbacks. Some people have had setbacks where maybe they wish they had more money. Some people have setbacks where, you know, their nail salon appointment was late.
And sometimes they don't understand, you know, they don't appreciate, they don't have the gratitude. You know, I'll tell you this little story, Mark. My father, they said my father was going to die. I was in California, came back to Pennsylvania. They said my father was going to die. He had a stroke. I came back to Pennsylvania. He hadn't talked for a few days. I saw him in his bed and, you know, I'm an only child. So I sat there and I said to my father, I didn't know what to talk to him about. I didn't know if he was listening or not. And I said to him, you know, Dad, if you get better, I'll buy you a basset hat. You know, because he always wanted a basset hat. And he turned around, Mark, and he said, you promise? I said, I promise. Like, I was like, I would have told him I'd get him a tiger, an elephant. I got to tell him a boa. I didn't care what it would be, right? And I would have done it. So I said, he said, a brown and white female, they're nicer. Yeah, sure, no problem, right? I'm thinking because the doctor just had told me he's going to pass away in a couple of days. So, but what happened is a miracle. My dad got better. And they said he would never walk and talk again. He walked and talked and bitched, really bad bitched, like normal. And what happened is, you know, he got better and I got to spend 3 years with him, you know, till he's 89 years old, spend 3 years with him that I wouldn't have had. And what I did is appreciate humanity, right? To go to see him go from the bottom to the top, to not being able to walk, not being able to talk, to coming back. So, you know, my hat's off to you, Mark. Listen, we're coming to the top of the show. I really appreciate you taking your time out of your schedule and getting up early for us. Closing thoughts. What thoughts do you have for folks out there, and how can people get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me through mark.hamadi@gmail.com. I'm also, if you Google me, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. You know, they can contact you and you can connect them with me. And really, you know, you have to just be resilient, and you truly have to feel it, right? It's not just saying the words, it's feeling it. And if you want to lose weight, you know, I can help people if they want to. I always say, when people say they don't have time, if you have time to go to the bathroom, you have time to lose weight. You know, you have to fit it in, because it's about you. And it's difficult, but, you know, nothing's easy. You know,
If it was easy, everybody do it, Mark. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you're a blessed athlete, it's still not easy, because at a certain point, you're going to be facing people with the same caliber that you're at. So you have to be resilient. You know, and then once you're able to do that, you can achieve it. And it's a matter of wanting it. If you want it, it can happen. You have to want it, and complaining, no complaining, right? I will say, move forward. Just move forward.
Yeah.
Be positive. That's why I'm not like, oh, let me sue this, or vaccines are bad, or that. No. That's all nonsense. You know, they're not perfect. It's not going to be for everybody. Things are going to happen. You know, I could have been in Lebanon and been shot a million times. It didn't happen. It is. You just have to be able to face the adversity when it hits you. And that's it. And we're all going to face something at some point in our life. And we just can't bitch, complain, blame somebody. Just got to figure out how to solve it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Mark. Listen, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you,
I appreciate it. And thanks to all my audience out there for joining one more time. GST presents Silicon Valley AI and Tech. And my name is Gary Fowler. I'm your host. Stay happy, stay safe, and stay healthy. We'll be back to you again next week for another exciting edition. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.